Father, we come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. He alone is worthy. He's the one that we worship, that we serve, that we love, God. And so, Lord, today we welcome the Spirit of Christ into this place. Welcome, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher of the church, not a man or a woman, not the young or the old, black, white, brown, tall, short, thin, white, educated, uneducated, rich or poor. No, God, we've come to hear from you. As we open up your word today, we pray that you open it up to us. In fact, Lord, open us up to receive it. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to have a good understanding so we can be the good ground where the word is sown, and may it produce fruit in each and every one of our individual lives. Truly today, Lord, we don't want to leave this place the same as when we came in, God. We want to grow. We want to grow up looking more and more like Jesus. And so today, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Be our teacher, be our guide. Give us your vision, your wisdom, your instruction, your direction, even the correction where we've gotten off track. Please, Lord, get us back on track with you. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it. Today, Lord, don't just bless us only. God, we would ask that you bless all the churches here in the Inland Empire as well as around the planet. They are our brothers and sisters, Lord, and at no time do we see ourselves as better than anybody. But God, we see ourselves as co-laborers and workers together in your kingdom, in your field, God. And so, Lord, we're going out as laborers into your harvest, God. So, Father, bless all the churches, God, Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians, Charismatics, Pentecostals, Calvary Chapels, Assemblies of God, Foursquare, Evangelical Free, Set Free, Victory Outreach. Bless our Catholic brothers and sisters and Adventist brothers and sisters, Messianic Jewish brothers and sisters, God, all the great churches that are out there, Lord. We bless Patria, The Way, Ecclesia, Trinity, Emmanuel Baptist, God, Citizens and Sandals and Elevate Life and C3, God. There's too many churches to name by name, but God, you know them all by name. And so, Father, we bless your church as you're building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, there's tremendous persecution breaking out against your church and other parts of the planet. And so, God, we pray and undergird our brothers and sisters. Pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them and deliver them. May they endure to the end of the glory of God. Lord, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace in our land. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen. As you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to the book of Romans. Romans, the second chapter. We've been going verse by verse, or like the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept. As we came into Romans chapter number 2, you remember we started a three-part series called God's Judgment versus Man's Judgment. Today, we're going into part number 3 of God's Judgment versus Man's Judgment. Now, don't worry. For some of you guys in this place, you're going, wait a second, hold on. You're kind of freaking out. I missed part number 1 and I missed part number 2. That's okay. We will review. We'll get you up to speed where you need to be for today's message, and today's message will stand on its own as well. You're going to get something from the Word of God, but I would encourage you to go online and get a hold of those first two messages in their entirety because it will bless you. And it'll help you get the full understanding of what we're talking about today. Let's review for a moment God's judgment versus man's judgment. Remember, he said that God's judgment is according to truth. That when God judges, he doesn't judge by the facts or circumstances, surroundings, how he feels in the moment. No, God has a truth that is unchangeable. And we don't line up God's truth with us. No, we line up with God's truth because that is what's eternal. That is the plumb line. That's the measuring stick. That's what we line up with. And therefore, when God judges, he always judges correctly because his judgment is based on the truth, which does not change. Now, many times people say, well, you can't judge. Only God can judge me, right? Tupac said that. Only God can judge me. Well, he did, all right? Because he's no longer with us. And so here's the deal is that when we take a look at that, sometimes people go, don't judge me. You're being so judgy. You can't judge. No. The Bible does tell us as believers we can judge, but we're not to become judgmental. We're not to look down our noses at anybody and point out their flaws when we're doing the same things. God says, hey, take a look at yourself first. Remove the plank from your own eye, and then you can take a look at your brother to help them out with the speck that's in their eye. And so while we can judge, how do we judge? We judge according to God's truth. We are the spiritual people of God, but we must guard ourselves against becoming judgmental. How do we do that? Well, we don't judge by experience or by appearance. We look to God and to his word for judgment. Last time we were together in part number 2, we found out that God's judgment is inescapable. We're not getting away with nothing. And you say, well, that's only for the sinners out there, right? That's only for the unbelievers. Yeah, they're going to go to eternal judgment, and it's inescapable. They're not going to get around it. But even there is a believer's judgment like we talked about. And that for whatever we did in the body, whether good or evil, good or bad, if you will, that we will have a judgment and there will be rewards that are handed out or losses that are had based on what we do while we're in the body. It's inescapable. And so we need to watch ourselves. Now, those who are in Christ will not be judged for our sin, but we will be judged for our works. And God's judgment is patient with us. giving us time. Aren't you glad that God's not finished with you yet? And that he didn't just zap you the moment you messed up, but that he was patient and kind and long-suffering and forbearing your sin, and he was drawing you to repentance. And it's no different as believers. You know, as unbelievers, thank God that God let us live long enough to repent. But even as believers, God is waiting for us to grow up and to mature and to get what it is that God wants us to get. And so he's patient. And because of this, we need to warn all men, and we ourselves need to be patient with others while God works on their hearts. Now, with those thoughts in mind, let's continue on in our understanding of the book of Romans. This time, we're in Romans chapter number 2. We're going to read verse number 5 down through verse number 11. Let's take a look at it together. Now, I want to remind you while we're reading in verse number 5 that the Apostle Paul is writing to someone that he sets up, okay? This is the imaginary person, if you will, that he calls O man. Who are you, O man, to judge? And so writing to this person who's judging others but doing the same things, he says this in verse number 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. I want you to notice up on the overhead screens, I've highlighted some words, but the second set of highlights is, look at this, in the day of wrath. Notice that there is coming a judgment day. When Jesus returns and he wipes out his enemies with the breath of his mouth and the sword that's coming off of his tongue, right? The word of God is that powerful two-edged sword. And there will come a day where he judges the nations. We'll all go before the throne and we will be separated to his right and to his left, sheep and goats. And those that are the Lord's will go into everlasting joy and reward. And those who are not the Lord's will go into everlasting and eternal punishment. And so he says, for those that are not repentant, they're treasuring up for themselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Verse number 7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Verse 8, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Verse number 9 goes on and it says, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So far we've learned that God's judgment is according to truth, that God's judgment is inescapable, and that God's judgment is patient. We're going to continue these thoughts from verse number 5 through verse number 11 and find out some more things about God's judgment. The first thing for us today that we can see about God's judgment as we take a look at these scriptures is that God's judgment is based on our actions. Now you might be thinking, well, wait a second, Pastor, we can't do anything. You've often said that in your altar call, that we cannot earn our salvation. So what do you mean that God's judgment is based on our actions? Listen, I didn't say your salvation was based on your actions. No, your salvation is based on your faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And therefore, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done that have saved us, but according to his mercy. You understand? So we don't get saved because of our works. No, we do our works because we're saved. And when we go before the judgment seat, whether we're believers or unbelievers, remember the unbelievers will be judged for their works, that they were evil, because they could not uphold the righteous standard of God as seen in the law of their conscience or even in the law of God. But the believers, as we go before the Lord, we will not be judged for our sin, but we will still have a believer's judgment where we go before the judgment seat of Christ. And as we go before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says that the fire of God will hit our works, and we will be judged for what we have done, whether good or whether evil, and whatever remains is a reward, but whatever is burned up is a loss. It's based on our actions. Thomas A'Kempis said this. He said, truly, when the day of judgment comes, we shall not be examined as to what we have read, but what we have done. Not to how well we have spoken, but how we have lived. See, it's not enough just to know well or to promise well. We must do well. The reward comes after the action. I remember there was a period of time that I was working at a big box store. I loved working at this store. You know, it was one of those mindless jobs that I could just work and leave there at the job and then go home and rest and not think about it. And when I first started working there, I remember I was a cashier. And I hated being a cashier just because, like, that conveyor belt with all the stuff. I would have dreams about the conveyor belt, you know, literally wake up anxious and in a cold sweat because I had all these boxes coming at me down the conveyor belt, and I'm blip, blip, blip. It was almost like that episode of I Love Lucy where she's eating all the chocolate and shoving it in, you know, and all that kind of, and I would have dreams about the conveyor belt and stuff coming at me. And I remember at the end of the day, we'd have to count down our drawer of all the money and everything like that and reconcile it. And so I'd go in there, and you'd go into this little room. I mean, tiny little room. It was claustrophobic. And there was a little table area that you would put your drawer on, just big enough for your drawer. And there was a camera straight up in your face. One here, Big Brother was watching. And if you were like $20 off, man, it was like, all right, clap them in chains. We're going out, you know, like, just take me away. $20 is missing from my drawer. And I mean, there was all this pressure. So finally, I got transferred out to the floor. I loved being on the floor. Because I could help people. You know, my pastoral heart was still going then, even in college. I was just like, hey, you need some help? You want to carry that big box? I'll help you carry the big box. You need to know how to put this together? I'll help you do that, right? And so I absolutely loved it. Ran forklift, all that good stuff. I remember there was a day that we got called on to help another department. We were going over to the grocery section, right? And in the grocery section, they said, hey, we need you to downstack this small pallet of waters onto this larger pallet here on the end cap so that everybody coming by, they can have these waters here, and we'll take that other pallet that's empty away, and we'll replace it with a new pallet. I said, great, that's fine. So me and one of the guys that was working there with me went to work, right? Well, I should say this. I went to work. I'm there just taking waters from one pallet to the other. Just going fast, making sure I'm doing a good job, stacking them right so that it's not going to fall over, that sort of thing. And I look up, and the guy who's supposed to be helping me, he's sitting down on another pallet of waters. Feet are swinging. Big smile on his face. Thumbs are twiddling. And he starts talking. He says, you know what, Dan? I'm a better worker than you. Now remember, I'm over here, and I looked up probably with disbelief on my face, like, what? You're sitting on a pallet of water? Tell me you're a better worker than me? I said, what? What are you talking about? And he's like, uh-huh, I'm a way better worker than you. I could do this way faster than you could. I do more than you do in a day. I'm really a great worker. I'm a hard worker, much harder worker than you are. And I'm just sitting there shaking my head like, this guy, what on earth is this all about? And I said, you're going to tell me, sitting on a pallet of water, that you're a better worker than I am? I'm almost done, man. He's like, yep, I'm a better worker than you. Later on, he got transferred to that other department. I remember his boss came through, he's shaking his head. He says, man, I hate that guy. Takes long breaks, man. I should fire his butt. He didn't say butt, by the way. I just can't say what he said here in the pulpit today. But you see, rewards are not based on what we say or what we think about or what we've read or what we've heard. You know, a lot of people come into church and not doing anything with their salvation. No, rewards are based on what you have actually done. We need to understand that God's judgment is based on our actions. We can see from these scriptures that if the heart is hard and impenitent, that the works that they store up wrath on the day of judgment. In fact, the works that they, it said that they actually treasure. Some of your translations say they treasuring for themselves wrath. That's an interesting way to state that, isn't it? But it makes sense when you see the words of Jesus. Turn there with me into Matthew this time. Matthew chapter number 6. Jesus had something to say about this in Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew 6 is actually a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to the people. He's teaching them, and their minds are getting blown. They're just thinking, wow, this is amazing. He's teaching not as the scribes and the Pharisees, but as one with authority. He's talking to them about life, and he's bringing to them different ways of thinking. You've heard it said this, but I'm going to tell you something new, something that you haven't heard, or a real truth. And within this context, Jesus starts to talk to them about their lives and about judgment, about the end, and what we should be looking at and what we should be doing. Notice in Matthew chapter number 6, we're going to take a look at verse number 19 and read down through verse number 21. Take a look at it with me. It says this. It says, do not lay up for yourself. Hey, what's that word right there? Treasures. Remember, we said that the impenitent, those who are not repentant, are treasuring up for themselves wrath in the day of wrath, right? So Jesus says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Now, we can understand that if Jesus is talking about something that a moth can destroy, that rust can destroy, or that someone can steal, that's something physical, isn't it? Well, we know what these treasures are, things like antiques. Some people treasure antiques. So what do? They spend all their time. They're going to the flea market, going down to Pasadena, right? Going in to see what they can find. They're going to, through yard sales. What do they say? One man's trash is another man's treasure, right? They treasure those things. How about some of you guys that are into clothes, right? And you go to your closet and you pull out your favorite shirt, you put it on and you look down and there's a hole in your favorite. What are you thinking? Man, that moth ate my shirt. Little stinker. All of a sudden you're getting out those little sticky tents that you're putting in your closet, fumigating, all that kind of stuff to get rid of it. Why? Because you're treasuring those clothes. You want to keep them nice. Other people are storing their goods in safes, making sure that thieves can't come in and steal the things that are precious to them, whether it's jewelry or gold coins or different things that they love. So Jesus says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves what? Oh, come on, you got to help me out today. Lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, if there's a treasure in heaven that a moth and rust cannot destroy and that a thief can't come in and steal, that shows me that we're no longer talking about physical treasures. It's not antiques, it's not cars, it's not clothes, it's not money or valuables, jewelry or any sort of earthly wealth. No, there's something different that he's now talking about, because these treasures in heaven are now eternal. And look at what he concludes with in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your what? Your heart will be also. Remember, there were those who had an impenitent heart. They heard about the righteousness of God, but they wouldn't repent and turn from their way. They kept doing their own thing. But there are those who hear the word of God and receive it, and they start to treasure doing the will of God. And because of that, now they have treasure in heaven. Your works are eternal. Everything that you do is going before you. And on the day of judgment, when God judges your works, there will be the fire of God that hits the things that you have built, and whatever remains is a reward, and whatever is burned up is a loss. That's why he says if we will treasure doing the will of God, then we're going to have something eternal that remains as a reward. We got to make doing the will of God our treasure, and then we're free from the corruption of our earthly desires, and we will receive a reward rather than wrath. Are you listening today? Come on, give God a praise for that. Second thing that we see from these verses is that God's judgment not only is based on our actions, but secondly is this, is that God's judgment is impartial. God doesn't play favorites, and he can't be swayed. Heard the story of an earthly judge who was trying a case, and the prosecution got up and they laid out their case before the judge. They had very compelling evidence that they showed, and they had very eloquent statements, and they were very smart about it. And the judge listened to it all, and at the end of the prosecution statement, he said, you know what? You're right. The defense was livid. They were so mad beside themselves. They stood up and they shouted, objection, your honor. And he says, what are you objecting to? He says, we haven't even heard the defense. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry. Sustained. Go ahead and lay out your defense. And the defense got up. They laid out the evidence of the case. They had a very eloquent statement at the end. And the judge looked at the defender and he said, you know what? You're right. Now, the bailiff was beside himself. He'd seen all this go on. He just thought, this is crazy. And so he said, judge, respectfully, they can't both be right. And he said, you know what? You're right. Listen, God's judgment is impartial. Man's judgment can be tainted by things like prejudice, favoritism. It can be tainted. But God is no respecter of persons. And sometimes people say, well, wait a second, doesn't God respect the Jews? I mean, we found out in Romans chapter number 1 that the salvation message was to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. Even Jesus said, I was not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. Isn't that playing favorites? I mean, Paul does say later on, all Israel shall be saved. I mean, does it even matter what they do? They're going to go to heaven anyways. That's not what the scripture is saying, number 1. And number 2, did you notice that when we were reading in Romans chapter number 2, it said that wrath is to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles? Anybody want to be first in line for wrath? Hey, God, don't be playing favorites. Let me get some first. No. See, God is no respecter of persons. His judgment is fair and it's just. You're going to get a fair trial with God. Why? Because it's to everybody. God's judgment is impartial, and he's not playing favorites. He doesn't care who your mama is. He's not looking at your education. He's not looking at your wealth. He's not looking at your skin color. He's not looking at whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or a pedestrian. God says, walk on. You just keep doing your thing, and I'm going to judge, but my judgment is impartial. What do we do with that? Well, we must be impartial as well. We cannot base our judgment on what we think about others, what we respect in man, about the ideas and the philosophies, or even our feelings. Oh, I just feel like they're wrong. Is that a feeling? I felt happy and I felt sad, but I never felt like someone is wrong, right? I mean, that may be a thought in your heart. You might have something going on there that's stirring, but you know, our judgment is not a feeling. And yet we've got a whole society that's basing everything on how they feel in the moment. People can be swayed to feel like one person is right without even hearing the other person, like the judge. And we need to understand that God's judgment is according to truth, and therefore God's judgment is impartial, because there is a plumb line that we are to line up with. And we have to take our feelings, our emotions, our circumstances, our backgrounds, all of those things that would taint our judgment, our prejudices, and the things that we have allowed to taint our judgment, and get those things out and get the Word of God and the Spirit of God in, so that our judgment can be impartial as well. Also, we have to realize that we will be judged impartially. You'd say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Doesn't that mean that there's no judgment for me? No. We talked about this already, didn't we? You're not going to be judged for your sin. But for what you've done in your body, there will be a judgment, and it is an impartial judgment. Just because you're God's kid doesn't mean that there's no judgment for you. And this might be a new thought for some of you guys, but doesn't 1 Peter say that judgment starts in the house of God? It sure does. See, we're the ones that God is going to judge first. Now, we won't be judged according to our sins, but we will be judged for our works. We're going to get a fair trial. That means also that we won't get away with bad behavior just because our sins are forgiven. Let me show this to you in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 17. I'm going to read to you from the New Living Translation. You're welcome to read along whatever translation you have. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and we're going to take a look at verse number 17. It says this, 1 Peter 1:17, New Living Translation. And remember, everybody say remember, that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. That was our first point today, wasn't it? He'll judge you or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners in the land. You remember last time we were together, we talked about God being our Father, and that fathers deserve our respect, and we love our fathers, we respect them. But also, we're in fear of our fathers, right? My dad, when he got mad, man, he started gritting his teeth and reaching for his belt. I knew it was time to run, because I had a fear on me of what was going to take place. Same thing with God. I don't want to cross God. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Therefore, I'm going to do what God tells me to do with respect, with awe, with reverence, but also with fear. I'm afraid to cross God. That's what he's saying. During your time as foreigners in the land. Which brings us to the last one, what we can see from these verses in the book of Romans chapter number 2. That is that God's judgment is final. Man's judgment isn't final. We can judge one way at one point in our life and then get more information and judge another way. Oh, well, because of new information, my judgment has changed. See, God's judgment doesn't change. God sees the end from the beginning. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher. And God's judgment is according to truth. God's first judgment is his right judgment, and therefore God's judgment is final. Our judgment can change based on maturity levels, right? When you were a kid, you might have judged something this way and said, hey, kill them all, right? They're all guilty. Get them out of here. But then you grow up and you start to live some life and you learn some things and you go, oh, wait, hold on. We need to be patient like God. Don't kill everybody. They need some more time to repent. But see, when God judges, God, his judgment is final. And ultimately, God's going to judge the world at the end of the age. It's what we were talking about, the day of wrath, the day of judgment. There is coming a day of reckoning when God's going to add everything up, what we've done in the body, whether good or evil, and rewards and losses will be given out, and that judgment is final. There is no going back. There's no kind of waiting period in the spirit that you're going to be contained in this storage place and you get to work some things out and then attain to a better resurrection. No, you're working on that right now. What you do now counts for eternity. Our works are eternal. They're going before us. or they're trailing behind us, and they're going to catch up on that day. We need to understand these principles because that will help us to watch what we do while we're here in the body. You're not getting another shot at this. You don't come back and reincarnation as a dog or a frog or a hog or work your way up into a human again. You get another shot at this. No, you've got one life to live, this life. You've got these moments now, and these choices that you're making now are eternally significant. Look again at the words in Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter 2, once again, find that. Romans chapter 2, take a look this time at verse number 7, and then we'll drop down to verse number 10 and look at what it says. It says, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Drop down to verse number 10. But glory, honor, and peace, not just immortality, but also peace, wholeness, fullness to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, that's for believers. That's for those of us who are following the Lord. But look at for the unbelievers. It says this in verse number 8 and verse number 9. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Look at the treasure of their heart. Look at the desires that are directing their actions. Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. There's a story in the Old West of a man who was riding his horse one day and saw a runaway carriage. He heard the voice of a child screaming on the carriage. Help, help, save me, save me. And so he took off on his horse and ran after the carriage, saw that there was a cliff that the carriage was headed towards, and rode up on his horse, grabbed a hold of the reins of the runaway horses, and started to pull those horses back. Stopped the carriage before it went over the edge, and that little child came over trembling to the man and gave him a big hug, and he pulled him up on his horse and rode him back while leading the carriage back to his family. The child was so grateful, he never forgot that man, often thought about him throughout his lifetime. Man also never forgot the child and thought about him often throughout his lifetime. But that child grew up and started to make the wrong choices. As a man, he got involved in crime, eventually committing a crime that was deserving of death. And so he went before the judge. And much to his surprise, the judge that walked out was that same man that had saved him when he was a child. He thought, this is it. He saved me once. He'll do it again. And so he appealed to the judge at the end of the trial. He said, Judge, I know what I've done is wrong. But would you please have mercy on me? Maybe you didn't know it, Judge, but when you were younger, you saved a little boy on a runaway carriage. I'm that boy that you saved. And the judge looked at him and he examined him close and he says, I can see the resemblance. I can see that you're that same person. Wow, I've often thought about you throughout my life. And the child said, throughout my lifetime, I've thought about you too. Judge, you saved me that day. Would you save me again today? The judge's countenance changed and he looked down for a moment and finally he looked back up at the man and he said, Sir, on that day, I was your savior, but today, I am your judge. And he went on to sentence him to death. We need to understand that now is the time to repent. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. What you do now matters, and it goes on into eternity. Today, Jesus Christ is available, open arms, and he is your loving Savior. But there's coming a day of judgment. There's coming a day that he will return riding on a white horse, and he's coming with the heavenly armies, and he's going to wipe out his enemies. And as we go before him on that day, he is no longer the Savior. Now he is the judge of the living and the dead. And his judgment is final. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 11 in the Passion Translation says this. It says, when judgment day comes, all the wealth in the world won't help you one bit. It's quite a statement, isn't it? Remember, Jesus said, don't treasure up things on the earth where moth and rust destroy, where thief comes in and steals. All the wealth of the world, it's not going to help you on the day of judgment. What will help? So be rich in righteousness. What is righteousness? Remember, we talked about this. It's God's will, God's way. It's both the position of being right with God and also the practice of doing right for God. That's what righteousness is. And look at this. So be rich in righteousness, for that's the only thing that can save you in death. When we have treasure in heaven and our works go before us and there's a reward laid up for those who are continuing to do good, not to get saved, but because we're saved, because we have gone to the mercy seat, we've clung to the foot of the cross, the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from our sin. Guess what? Now there is a reward that God has laid up for those who love him and for those who are going to serve him in reverential fear. My goodness, today, now is the time to do these things, because on that day, it's too late. What did we learn about God's judgment? We learned that God's judgment is according to truth. He's patient with us, but we know his judgment is inescapable and it's impartial. It's based on our actions and it's final. We are to live according to his truth, not being judgmental, but warning men and being patient with them while God works on their hearts. We live a righteous life looking forward to the eternal reward. I'm going to ask no one to get up, no one to leave during this time. You need to listen up, because I want to make sure that your heart and your life is right with Jesus before we go any further in this church service today. There are those of you in this place that if today was your last day and you died, that you would die and you would end up in hell. You say, Pastor, that's very rude of you to say. No, it's the most loving thing that I can say, because I don't want you to go to hell. You don't want you to go to hell. The more than both of us, guess what? God doesn't want you to go to hell. That's why he sent Jesus, beaten, bloody, hung on a cross. He died so that you and I didn't have to die and go to hell, but that we could be with him forever and ever. You say, Pastor, well, wait a second, because, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm here in church today. I'm in front of you right now. Doesn't that mean I'm a Christian? No, that's like going to McDonald's, sitting in the driveway, calling yourself a hamburger, and that makes you a hamburger. It doesn't work. Can't just sit in church service, watch one online, call yourself a Christian, that makes you a Christian. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, you don't understand. I was raised in church. My parents told me we were Christians growing up. Maybe they hung a cross or a St. Christopher on your neck, had you baptized or christened as a child. You went to religious classes like Sunday school, Sabbath school, catechism class. You've always considered yourself to be a Christian, born in America. America's a Christian nation. Everybody born in America is going to heaven. We're not any other religions. We're not Buddhists. We're not Muslim. We're not Hindus. We're Christians, right? Wrong. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that because you're not some other religion, because of your upbringing, your family association, your location on the earth, the jewelry you wear, the classes you take, the religious rituals are involved in, none of that will get you into heaven. There is no default setting. Sometimes people think, well, Pastor, it wasn't just as a child. I mean, here I am in church, my last church. I didn't just sit. I helped out, got involved, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible, made decisions. People thought of me as a leader. Even got a membership card to that church and taught in the Bible classes. Those are great things to do. None of them will get you into heaven. In fact, Jesus talks about Judgment Day and how he's going to separate the people. And there are going to be people who did good works in his name, people who prophesied in his name and did miracles. How many of us have done that? And yet, Jesus says to that group of people, because he sees beyond the external into their hearts, and he says, away from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That shows me that church attendance or involvement is not going to get you into heaven. God's not some bank commercial sitting at the gates of heaven looking for your volunteer hours or a membership card saying what's in your wallet before you can enter the gates of heaven. Come on, we're talking about your eternal life. Don't daydream right now. Think about your life. What if today was your last day? Where would you be? Would you end up in heaven or would you end up in hell? Some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, okay, I got you on this one. Someone told me that if I knew God, I'm a Christian. They were witnessing. They said, do you know God? And I said, yeah. They said, oh, but do you know Jesus? And I said, yes, of course I know Jesus. And they said, then we don't need to talk to you. We'll go find someone who needs Jesus. And they went to witness to someone else. I know Jesus. Sing the songs at Christmas every year of my life. Celebrate Easter and the resurrection. I got scriptures memorized, Pastor, Old and New Testament. Doesn't that mean that I'm a Christian? Well, no, because if you'd read your Bible, you know that demons believe and they tremble. The devil knows who Jesus is. You'll find him quoting scriptures in the gospel. I would have thought, probably you would have too, that if the devil quoted a scripture, his face would melt off. At least his tongue, right? But it doesn't happen. He just twists and distorts the scripture. He lies and he moves on. There's coming a day where that devil will be cast in a lake of fire. He's not a Christian just because he quoted a scripture. We know his end. It's the same for those who are not born of the Spirit of God, those who are not Christians. Just because you know a scripture, know who God is, doesn't make you right. Look up at me for a second. Everybody look up here, even online, look at your screen right now. This is not about what you have up here in your head. It's not about mental ascent towards God, knowing who Jesus is. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your good deeds, your church attendance or involvement. But rather, you still watching? It's about your heart. God's always been after your heart. He sees beyond the external, the religious activity or your moral ways, and he sees to the deepest part of you. Jesus said that if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Now, I know our society's raked that through the coals. They made a mockery out of it. But what does being born again mean? Well, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, being born again has always meant the same thing. It simply means this, that you surrender to God all of your heart and that you surrender to God all of your life. It's just that simple. It's a simple surrender of everything that you are. You say, Pastor, I prayed a prayer. Isn't that enough? Well, did you follow it with all of your heart and all of your life? If not, you're not going to make it. God's not looking for lip service. What did Jesus quote from the book of Isaiah? These people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, you must be born again. You've got to give God all of your heart and all of your life. You can't just say you're a Christian and live like the devil. No, you got to be transformed. You must be born again. See, when God comes in and makes you new on the inside, it works its way into your life. Sometimes people wrongly say, well, Pastor, I'll clean up my act and then I'll come to God. No, you come to God and then I'll clean you up from the inside out. Because being a good person doesn't save you either. So these people think, well, I've been good. I'm not just in church, but outside of church, I've been a good person. Yeah, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You're not going to make it to heaven by being good. You've got to surrender to God all of your heart and all of your life. Then God comes in and he'll clean you up from the inside out. No matter how good, how moral, how religious you are, you're not going to make it to heaven. You must be born again. And no matter how bad you've been, it doesn't disqualify you from receiving the Savior's love. That sacrifice on the cross is well able to cover your sins and to take them out of the way. And now you can exchange your life for his. Lay down your life. Die to yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. Guess what? He'll raise you up with Jesus Christ. You become new, born again. He gives you a brand new start with a brand new heart. And there are those of you in this place that you need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. And I'm not just talking about church attendance. Sometimes people are lukewarm coming to church, backslidden coming to church. Saturday night, they're out doing their thing, and then they come to church doing God's thing. You got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and you think that's going to make it. Listen, Jesus said, when I come, I want to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, he says, I'll vomit from my mouth. That shows me that half-hearted, lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. You need to give God all of your heart and all of your life. Hold on, don't clap. Don't clap right now. I know you're in agreement. That's awesome. We'll clap in a minute. But I want to make sure that there's no distractions, because there are those of you in this place, you're locked in right now. You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. You say, Pastor, I've got more time. I'm young. I'll make a deathbed confession. Yeah, when is that? 20 years from now, you got an appointment scheduled with God. 20 years from now, Kaiser Permanente, Fontana. It doesn't work. We're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one breath, one bomb away from eternity. I'm sure the people in Florida right now, in the midst of that hurricane and that madness that's going on, just watch the news, see what happened. Take a look. There's bombs flying all over the world. Well, that can't happen here. Don't even think it can't happen here. It happened down the street at the IRC. It happened in New York at the World Trade Center. It happened in Oklahoma City bombing. It can happen anytime. We're not impervious to attack. Don't think for a moment. We're all one car accident away from eternity. I was driving to church this morning, saw a car accident above the freeway. It can happen at any moment. We don't know when our last breath will be. Today is the day of salvation. Don't gamble your eternity on whether or not you're going to have a deathbed confession. Now is the time to give God all of your heart and give God all of your life, because once it's done, God's judgment is final. You need to give God all of your heart and you need to give God all of your life. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three, just like this. Pop my hand on this microphone. Bang. When you hear the sound of my hand pop on that microphone, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. What you're doing by the raising of your hand is you're saying something. You're saying, I want to give God all my heart. I'm going to give God all my life. I'm going to be born again, headed for heaven, and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You put it right back down. You might be thinking, whoa, 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 wait a second. You're going to point and count. Pastor, if I raise my hand, you point and count, people will see me. I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be. That's okay. Think of the trade-off. Isn't it better to be embarrassed for a moment than just to end up in hell forever and ever and ever? No one would make that trade. Yeah, the devil thinks you're stupid, so he's trying to talk you out of this right now. He's saying, don't do it. You're fine. Sit there and do nothing. That pastor's a liar. No, the devil's a liar and the father of lies. And he was a murderer from the beginning. He's trying to kill you right now, eternally. Tell that devil to go jump in a fiery lake. You're not going with him. You're going on with God today. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'm a man. I'll see you go up. I'll count it. Put it right back down. Online, you just throw it up for a moment. Put it right back down. You see, there's no one around me, Pastor. Hey, God sees. God's watching. Then your life will show before men. Probably won't even be embarrassed. Jesus said this, you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. That's what you want. But on the opposite side of that statement, he said, but if you deny me, I will deny you. Today, your call, your choice. You can sit there and do nothing. You made a choice. Or how about this? Make the right choice. Choose life today. Give God all of your heart. Give God all of your life. Who should raise your hand if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure today. Who should raise your hand? You've never done this before. Never given God all of your heart. Never given God all of your life. I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand? If you're lukewarm in this place, half-hearted, maybe you're backslidden, you need to come home like the prodigal. Today, it's your day of salvation. I'm going to count to three. Pop my hand on this microphone. You know who you are, both live and online. Get ready to get your hands up. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high for you right now. There's one, two, three. Thank you. God bless you. Who else today? Four up top. I got you. Five and six, seven, eight, nine right there. Thank you. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Got you right here. Up top, 15, 16, 17. Got you right there. 17, 18. Got both hands up. That's awesome. 19, 20, 21, 22 in the family room. I got you right there. Thank you. God bless you. If I saw your hands, you're welcome to put them down. We don't want you to get tired. Okay, but if I haven't seen your hand, or maybe you don't know if I counted you, get that hand up real high. If I don't see you, give me a little wave. Sometimes it just helps me. A little bit of movement. Anybody else need to give God all of your heart? 22, 23. Thank you for the wave. Appreciate that. Anybody else? 23. We got 24 up top. Got you. Thanks for the little wave. That's awesome. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Yeah, wonderful. Got you there. 25. Yes, thank you. God bless you. 25 wise people. Anybody else that I did not already see? 25. Amen. They're pointing up there. Where are you at? 26. Got you right there. Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. 26 wise people. Anybody else today? Need to give God all of your heart. Need to give God all of your life. I didn't embarrass them. And I won't embarrass you. 27 up top. Yeah. Thank you. God bless you. Oh, right there. Yes. Got you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. 27. Anybody else real quick? Just want to make sure. Want to make sure that you're right with God. Anybody else? I just heard the scripture in my spirit right now that if anyone comes to me, I will in no way cast him out. It's the words of Jesus. Jesus says, if you come to me, I'm not going to reject you. Some of you might be dealing with rejection issues and you're saying, I can't come to God. He won't accept me. No. If you come to Jesus, he doesn't reject you. He won't cast you out. You got to come to him though. Come on, if you know that God's speaking to your heart right now, you know you need to come to Jesus. But you were afraid of that rejection. My God's calling you out right now. Would you just give God all of your heart? Give God all of your life. Anybody else? Come on. Let's go for God. Let's go for God. Anybody else? Gotcha. 28. Twenty-nine. 30 up top. Got both hands. That's awesome. God's not going to reject you. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Anybody else? Just want to give you another moment. The Spirit of God's moving in this place powerfully. Point over here. Yeah. 31. It's just the sweet presence of God moving through the building today. Even online, if you haven't already raised your hand, God sees you right now. You can raise your hand in this moment. Even if you're watching on our platform, you see that little button that says raise hand. You can click that little hand. It'll go up. The online host will see you. Praise God. It's wonderful. Anybody else? Would we say 31? Just want to give you another moment. The presence of God. As God is moving in this place. Anybody else? Last call. We're going to wrap this up. Anybody else? You might be thinking, Pastor, if he gives one more call, 32. God, if he gives one more call, make that pastor say it one more time, then I'll do it. Listen, God's not your trick pony, number one. But also, God loves you enough to prompt me to say this one more time. 32 wise people already. That's you. 33. Anyone else? Let's give the Lord a hand for 33 wise people. Hallelujah. Ooh, man, all 33 of you. And God just spoke a number to my heart that just made me go, ooh. 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, and 46. You should have raised your hand, but you didn't. It's not too late. When you get a hold of your coat, purse, sweater, Bible, a friend, if you need a friend, why don't you get in the aisle and meet me right here up front. Come on, let's all stand and welcome them. No one leave during this time. Let them come. If you raised your hand, you should have raised your hand. If your kids raised your hand, come on down right now. Come on down. Let's pray together here at the altar. Come on down right now. Come on, don't leave. Let them come. Come on, they're coming. Parents of your children, raise your hand. Bring them. Children of your parents, raise your hand. Just come with them right now. Come on. Come on. They're coming.
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness.
They're still coming.
Was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Come on, you can come too. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Come on down right now.
The Father's arms are
anybody else? Come on, if you need to come, just come right now. Church, nudge your neighbor. Give him that little holy nudge, that loving nudge. Don't hurt him. Just give him a little nudge. Come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring him. Come on. Nudge him and bring him. Anybody else? Come on, right now. Room for you here at the altars today. Come on down.
Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Now I could just be content right there and just say, oh, isn't Pastor Dan wonderful? Look at all the people who got saved, right? Listen, it's not me. It's the Spirit of God that draws men and women. And let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I know you're saved. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, plus 1 makes 34. Now, hold on, because we could say, well, he counted 33 hands. There's 34. That's good. But remember, I told you the Spirit of God spoke to me that there was more. He said 46. So that means there's more of you that need to come. I'm going to have Tiva sing that one more time. Listen, if you come or don't come, my conscience is clear. It's up to you. But recognize that we've been reasoning all day about the judgment of God. And the only way to escape the judgment for sin is to be in Christ. Either your sin's on you or it's on Jesus on the cross. You got to make the choice to give God all of your heart, to give God all of your life. Now, again, I can't make you do this. You got to make this decision on your own, but count the cost. Think about your eternity. Can you afford eternal life in hell? I can't, and I know you can't either. And so if you need to make a change of destiny and change of direction, you need to take the first step, get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front as Tiva sings. One more time. Come on, sing. Sing, and you come. You come right now. Come on.
Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Just come.
Oh, come to the altar.
There's 10 more of you. You need to come.
Father's arms are.
God loves you so much. He's here with open arms. I'm going to have Chris just play quietly. Church, as they come, don't clap. Just let them come, all right? There's 10 more of you. You need to come. I don't know who you are. You know. You need to come. There's 8 more of you that need to come. Seven more. There's 6 more. There's 5 more. There's 4 more. There's 3 more. There's 2 more. We'll celebrate in a minute. There's 2 more. I don't know who you are, but you need to come. Thousands of people just for you. Will you come? There's one more. Now we can celebrate. Come on. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the Bible tells us that Jesus leaves the 99 for the one. And God loves you so much, He was just waiting for you. Thank God. Thank God. Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes. I want everybody up front to repeat after me. You're giving God all of your heart, giving God all of your life. Even those of you giving your heart and life to the Lord online, you can pray this prayer. Everybody's going to join in together just to encourage you. Say these words out loud together in faith. Say, Father God. Come on, everybody say it together. Father God, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I give you all my heart and all of my life. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past and give me a future with you. For I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died and was raised again to life just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Let it be known that from this day on, I am saved. I'm a Christian. I'm born again, headed for heaven, denying hell. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days into eternity with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise today. Welcome to the family of God. We're so excited for you guys. Now listen. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I was 15 years old, and I didn't know a lot about God. Even though I'd been raised in church, I still needed some help. Needed a friend to come alongside me and encourage me, teach me some things out of the Bible. So we want to give you that same opportunity today, because there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. You know, if you go to the gym just one time, think you're going to get strong, it doesn't do you much good, right? Same thing with church. You go to church one time thinking that everything's right with the world now and I'm never going to have a problem again. No, listen, the work's just started, all right? And it gets tough because the devil's mad and he wants you back, and then your family doesn't understand, and there's all things that come against you. And so we want to encourage you to stay strong and stay consistent no matter what happens from this point forward. God is so good. He loves you, and we're here for you as a church family. You didn't join a church, all right? You joined the great big family of God. But we want to come alongside you and encourage you. So my friend Pastor Joel over here waving at you, real good guy, wants to just give you some free stuff, talk to you about getting back to church, introduce you to a friend that we call a spiritual personal trainer, okay? Easy, free, and you need to do it, all right? And then after a couple minutes, I'll let you come right back out. Now listen, give us this next year. It's a year, and I'm talking about today right now. No, listen, gotta have that future focus, right? We're talking about eternal things. Invest this next year here at The Rock. Keep coming, all right? If you don't have a good home church, if you got a good home church, plug there. But here, all right, if you don't have a church, we're putting in our application. Come and plant here for the next year and watch what God's done in your life. Next year, 2025, you'll look at your life and say, wow, look at the transformation what God has done in my life. With those thoughts in mind, make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel for a couple minutes right this way. Come on. Let's give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. Let's encourage our new family members. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So good. So good. Man, we're having Easter up in here. God good. Hey, online, if you prayed that prayer with us after we dismiss today, there will be some instructions for you to get a hold of those same materials and those same connections. At this time, I'm going to turn the church service over to Pastor Antonio. Would you come and lead us in this next portion of our church service, Pastor?
Hey, aren't we a grateful people? Let's never take the miracle of salvation for granted. What just happened right before our eyes is a miracle. Amen? And we get to be a part of it. You get to be a part of it. I get to be a part of it. Amen. I get to tell you, we're just getting started. Amen. This is a good place. I mean, if you have friends, family, loved ones, don't you know, hey, they're going to get an opportunity to have someone tell them the truth. maybe be a little bit uncomfortable, get in their face and say, hey, we need to follow Jesus. Amen. So this is a good place to come, a good place to be. And we are so excited. Come on. Aren't you grateful to be a part of it? We're going to continue our worship by bringing our tithes and our offerings unto the Lord this morning. That's right. We cheer. We get excited. Why? Because God allows us to be a part of what just took place. Amen. Of souls going into heaven. Come on now, devil, you have no grip on me. I'm going to heaven. And we get to continue to tell people about Jesus and building his kingdom. Amen. Hey, before we go into how the ways that you can give this morning, I want you to pay attention to the screens as our pastors share a testimony here on the videos.
Hey, Rock family. We want to take an opportunity to share with you something the children's ministry has been very passionate about. We have developed a growth track program where your kids get to learn about salvation, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, as well as get introduced into our RLC program where they get to learn leadership skills and learn how to use their gifts to serve others.
Here at The Rock, we don't do infant baptism because we believe that every child should have the opportunity to profess their own faith and understand the decision that they are making. In just a few moments, you're going to hear from these kids what water baptism means to them and why they chose to get baptized.
Here we go. The first ones that I have are Remington and Leilani.
I serve with the little five-year-olds with my mom, and I also do praise and worship, rock shop, and greeting, and first-time visitors.
I volunteer in rock shop. I volunteer in drama club and also the praise and worship team. Baptism is when you go under the water, and it symbolizes when you die of your old self.
And when you come out of the water, you're a whole new person with no sins. It's like starting your life over. My baptism today represents me growing as a Christian and building a deeper relationship with God.
It's a symbol of me being a Christian and building God's kingdom.
Now that I've been baptized, I plan to be a whole new person and help the world be a better place by showing an example of the God who's living in me.
For more information on the Growth Track classes, please call or visit the Command Center today.
Come on now, you're not dropping your kids off at daycare. Your kids aren't going to babysit. They are learning the Word of God and being brought up in the way that they should go. Come on now, aren't we so grateful? That's what we get to continue to do. That's what we're sowing into. And man, what a privilege it is that God allows for us. Hey, maybe this morning you want to give by cash or check. If you would just raise your hand at this time, our ushers would love to get that into your hands. The other ways that you can give are on the screen right behind me, whether it's the text to give, the tap to give right in the seat backs in front of you. Has anyone tried that yet? That's really cool. Just tap it right over and just opens it up right to where you need to be as we together get to build God's house, his kingdom, and what a privilege it is to serve and build alongside you all. Aren't we grateful this morning? I'm going to pray over our offerings before we receive this morning. Heavenly Father, I come before you, Jesus. And Lord God, we are so grateful that you would allow us. Jesus, I say allow us to be a part of what you're doing, Lord God. You don't need our money. You don't need our finances, Lord Jesus. But you are after our hearts, Lord God. And in doing so, in planting seeds, Jesus, we get to see what you are doing all over the earth. And so for that, we are grateful, Jesus. For that, we are faithful. We are obedient, Jesus, because you are such a generous God. And we know, Lord, we're not taking care of our needs. You're taking care of our needs according to your riches and glory. That's your promise, and we stand by it. In your name, we pray these things. Amen, amen, amen. Ushers, you can go and receive the offering at this time. Just real quickly, I know you guys are looking at the clock. I just have a few quick announcements that I'll get to you, and we will go about our day. Come on, it's been a great day in church this morning. The first thing I want to let you all know about is our Thanksgiving in Reach. Hey, this is an opportunity for us as a church to take care of those, our neighbors, the people next to us, the people on the other side of the room. If you are a family in this church, I just want to let you know, if you are a family in this house and you know this season, this Thanksgiving season with the costs and the prices, it's going to be a little bit rough, but you want to still celebrate. Man, as a church, we would love to help you out. And so if that's you, be sure to go to the tent right after service. We love you. We want this opportunity. We are so excited to be able to do this for you. There is no shame in that game. Come on now. We are in this together, so don't hesitate. Maybe you're a family that you want to help sponsor somebody. Again, this is an inreach. This is us as a church taking care of one another, just like we see in the book of Acts, that there was not a need among them because we were able to take care of one another. So maybe you want to give a little bit extra today, or you want to make sure that you can sponsor a dinner or two or 10 for the families in need. Go ahead and text the number thanks, and you can just put a number right in front of that, and we'll be sure to allocate those funds to this inreach in Jesus' name. So we are grateful for that. And then right after service, we have a prayer for the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, we have a prayer for the Holy Spirit. I know. Are you guys doing? Who's doing it? The second service. I know. Mr. Matt is right up here. He's waving up here. Going to go up. Him, Pastor Dan will lead you to that in just a quick moment. Come on. But we want to get the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen and amen. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, tonight. Come on. Somebody say tonight. We have a Holy Spirit night. Pastor Jessica has been teaching us through the and walking us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I am so excited. I want to encourage you all to be here. Invite somebody. There's going to be a chance to give your life to Jesus tonight, like we just saw. We are believing for miracles, signs, and wonders. So don't miss out tonight at 6 p.m. That's all for me. Here's a quick video, and then Pastor Dan will be right back. Love you guys.
Come and join us on October 31st at 5:30 p.m. for 2024 Trunk or Treat. There will be plenty of candy, food vendors, and fun for the kids. This is a safe and friendly place to bring your family. Invite everyone you know. Get involved by bringing a bag of wrapped candy and placing it in the donation bins in the outer foyer. If you want to decorate your car and pass out candy, please visit the Command Center. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hey Rock family, Pastor Brian here, and I am so excited as I'm standing in the new location for our next well. This has been a plan in process for quite some time now, and we're really excited that we get to break ground. Over the next couple weeks, we'll be showing you footage, getting really excited about the process that's playing out. And the greatest part about it is, once this project is finished, we're gonna be able to invest back into our water, and we're gonna be saving money as we build the kingdom of God. So all the resources saved once this is paid off is gonna go back into building the Inland Empire and all around the world. And don't forget, for the next couple weeks, this gate behind me will be closed. But don't worry, pay attention to the map that's on the screens, and you'll be able to see where you can enter and exit. Thank you, Rock Church, for everything that you do in sowing into building the kingdom of God.
Somebody say, why are we excited about digging a well? Here's the reason why, is because we've been on city water since our old well collapsed, and that costs more money. And when you're paying more money to the city rather than putting more money into ministry, we've got an issue, right? And so we're investing $180,000 into this well, and that's why I want to say thank you to those of you who tithe, number one, to those of you who give above and beyond your tithe and offerings as well, the miracle offerings that we receive during our birthday celebration weekend. That is what your tithes and your offerings and your miracle offerings go to do, is to continue to put an investment into something that eventually we're going to get a return on, and then we're going to be able to put more money into the gospel, reaching children and youth and young adults and our area, sending the gospel out into the city streets as well as around the planet through our missions efforts. So thank you, Rock Family, for partnering with us in your finances so that we can do things and be wise stewards and put more money into the gospel. I think that's worth giving one another. Hey, good job. Good job, tithers. Good job, everybody. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys so much. I'm going to dismiss you. I want to remind you guys, tonight, 6 p.m., Holy Spirit Night, Pastor Jess has a word going into the Word of Wisdom, I believe, tonight. So it's going to be great. And if you're in need of some wisdom, hey, ask God. He'll give it to you. And you'll get it in church service tonight. Also, Matt, you going right here? Matt's going to be up here by this big pillar right here, okay? So as we stand, you're welcome to stand. If you'd like to be dismissed, you want to get prayer for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Matt's right up here. Get that power of God. Those gifts are given. Get that whole wash. You're immersed in the love of God and brand new. And then tonight you'll come back to Holy Spirit night and be ready to learn about the gifts. All right? So you're welcome to be dismissed right now to head up there with Matt. And that way you can receive that prayer and that ministry time. But for the rest of you guys, let me bless you as you go. Would you lift your hands to the Lord, even online? Come on, let me bless you right now. Father, I bless your saints from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend, a spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.